You're listening to The Big Show with George Russick and Matty Rose on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Oh, Love Inc. Getting you going on a Friday. How about it?
There's really none better.
There's nothing better, is there?
There's a handful better, but this song.
How about this? Love Inc., Brent Cron, Plays of the Week, all in 1 hour to get your Friday going.
Why not start there?
Or
finish there, sorry.
Well, for us, it's finishing. For our loyal listeners, it's probably starting. But in the end, we're all getting into the weekend some way or fashion.
If you should Google these music videos, too. They're quite hilarious.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of smoke involved, a lot of hazy camera shots.
Yeah.
And just a lot
looks
of hands
like
over the face.
Of a spaceship.
Like this. Yeah.
Because right? Those pre-90s, everything's in a spaceship.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of silver.
Yeah.
Tin foil
we're
looking
getting
stuff.
Out of here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's exactly
we're in a
what
UFO.
The plan was.
Yeah.
I think Aqua even had those, you know, metallic suits jumping and dancing around. And
yep.
Quality. Aqua. Quality cinematography right there.
90s were a good time.
Aqua never hurt. That's the voice of Brent Cron. This is The Big Show with Russick and Rose. Russick is ill. He'll be back on Monday. Patty DeMaw is sitting in. GVP and Connor are in the other room. They're making sure everything runs properly. It's The Big Show for Mortgages to Go. Always the lowest interest rates in Canada since 2004. Visit mortgagestogo.ca. We're coming at you live from the Doug Lacey Basement Systems downtown studio. Do you have cracks in your walls, floors, or ceilings? Visit dlbasementsystems.com for a free estimate. They are all things basement-y. With Brent, we have plenty of things to talk about today. We have to talk about yesterday's game between the Winnipeg Jets. We have to talk about the line brawl in Manhattan. We have to talk about Weak Dog continuing to score. We have to talk about which bandwagon you're jumping on. But before you get there, can you do a little reading for us,
please?
Yeah,
I'd love to.
If you wouldn't mind.
Much. Brent Cron is brought to you by All Kind Door Services Limited, your go-to service company for the last 35 years, offering 24-hour emergency service. For all your door repairs, anything that swings, slides, or rolls, call 403-266-1411.
I'm always loving the music comes in.
It's nice.
Feels we can kind of just take a little bit of a breath.
If you're looking for a solution, the Rickster's got a solution for all kinds of doors.
Especially if it's a door. Anything that swings, slides, or rolls, he's got a solution.
He's big into doors.
Yeah. Oh, he might have other solutions for you, too. Like if you got some relationship trouble.
Yep.
Maybe you got some finance stuff you need sorted out.
Sure.
Call him.
Right. You need a good mechanic and you need a good door
good
guy.
Mechanic.
Yeah. What else do you need?
Yeah,
to know,
maybe
right?
He's a mechanic. Who knows? Mostly doors. You want to go for them doors. If you have a door issue, that's the place to go. Yesterday, the Flames fall to the Jets, and they're officially eliminated from playoff contention.
Yeah. Sadly.
Mm.
Sadly.
Does that change the mood when you actually get that E? Because, like, Mackenzie Weegar said in his postgame, he's like, I didn't even realize that was actually, then it's official now. It felt like it's been a kind of set in after they lost those back-to-back games on the weekend. What was it, last weekend, the weekend before? And does it change anything?
No, it just changes some of the comments in the room, I would bet.
Mm.
If anybody says, hey, you guys, we're not mathematically eliminated yet, let's go. That's now gone, right?
Yeah.
You know, so.
I wonder how you react to that guy.
You know, it's like,
guys,
shut up, Dave.
We go 7-0, they go 0-7, we're in.
It's 0-7-0.
Like, 0-7-0.
You
got
to make
no
overtime,
point.
No loser point there.
Exactly.
It was everything had to be battened down. So.
Yeah, you know, at that point, you're just playing, right? That's it. I mean, you're so far removed. You're playing to disappoint other teams. And it was nice to see. You knew the Flames were going to have a better effort last night. Just, you know, playing at the Anaheims and Chicago's of the world and the San
Brings
Jose's.
It
because you're both in the same spot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're without a dance partner.
Yep.
At the dance, right? And you're just kind of aimlessly wandering on. Hey, do you want to dance? No, I'm not. No, I don't want to dance.
Yeah.
Right? I'm just gonna stand against the wall.
Yeah.
Right.
And a wallflower.
You're left with what's left.
Exactly. Right. You're just hanging out by the exit. I'm still here. Hey. Oh no, everybody's off.
Lights are on now, guys.
Exactly. Right. So it's a sad state of affairs. It really is. We've all been there as players, right? Where some seasons are great and the joy of the playoffs just fires you up, and then sometimes you're not, and that really sucks. And so last night's game, you know, Winnipeg's obviously a very good team. They've been on a bit of a losing skid too, right?
Lost six in a row before beating LA on Monday.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So they needed to get their game in order too, and I thought the Flames started well, right? Mm-hmm. Weegar's shot was nice. That pass from Huberdeau was just crisp, and Kuzmenko was ripping around a little bit out there again yesterday. Mm-hmm. I was like, whoa, like, keep this up, man.
What's that, four games in a row? Excuse me.
You know, he's forechecking, he's picking pockets, he's making plays, he's dare I say, dangerous out there too at times.
How dare you?
Right? How dare I? You know what? Sometimes it's like, you know, if I can't find him, you know, on the ice, you know, I'm like, wait, I think this is his line's out there, but I can't. Oh, there's the tape job.
Yeah.
Right? I was like, ah, yes, I got it. Right?
Yeah.
It's actually, you know what? It's just like Pospisil's visor, right?
Yeah. I get him confused with Greer sometimes, though.
Yeah. Yeah, fair enough, but you know, it narrows it down. At least you have a 50-50 chance.
Yeah, if I'm just tracking for visor, it's a 50-50, especially if I'm on the other side of the ice and I can't see any jersey whatsoever. It's just in a scrum. Yeah.
Usually if somebody's blocking shots or, you know, back-checking, it's Greer. Mm-hmm. If it's Pospisil and taking people out, then you can put it together, right?
Yeah.
But that first period, too, even though the Flames are outshot, like that's a tough building to play in, right? Mm-hmm. And people think sometimes, oh, they auto play in the first period. Oh, that sucks. Oh, they got to be better. It's, you go into those buildings, and you're kind of hanging on for the first 10 minutes. I thought Wolf did a good job of keeping things stable.
They were dynamite until the 5-on-3.
Yeah, right. Yep.
Sucked all the energy from them, and then all of a sudden the Jets are feeling good about themselves and they changed the game, right?
Yeah. Well, and the Jets, they were throwing everything at the net too for a while there. They weren't a ton of scoring chances. Mm-hmm. It's just Wolf had to control his rebounds and, you know, be square. And, you know, that early on, I can't remember who passed to Foley the puck, but he caught it on his backhand. It was like the third shot. And he was able to hold it on his backhand and try to chip it over Wolf's pad.
Yeah, and he made that sliding push, look behind him, but he had it.
Yeah, but I thought there was it's a strong play by Toffoli to take it on his back and then try to take it to the net. And there's a handful of times, too. Wolf thought he had it, didn't he? He looked behind him about four or five times last night, too, right? So
45 shots against, a few of them might sneak three.
Is that all about just, like, I mean, he's probably seen those shots a ton throughout his career, but is that just, like, learning to play those shots better and you'll stop looking behind you so much?
No, that's just how the game goes. Yeah. Sometimes it just hits you. It's like, oh, that one, I can feel it right there. And then I squeak out.
Sneak
right?
It.
and that's a scary feeling, too, because the second, as you can see by the player's reaction, the second the goalie doesn't know if he has it for sure, immediately the players pretend like the puck is behind him, and the sticks start.
Yeah.
You know, then so if you're not confident, you're going to assume it's there, and then you just kind of drop and fall down, and the puck pops out. It's a very clever move by the players. Yeah.
The big save, Dave Riddick. Always looking behind him.
I know.
Just trying to find that damn thing.
I know. It's half the time, too. It's like if you're just confident that you have it, the referee's going to blow the whistle,
too. Yeah.
Right? If you're not showing that. Oh,
yeah.
Right. If you're looking for it, ref is starting to look for it. Yeah.
Everyone else
loose.
Looks for
yeah,
it.
Yeah, he's going to give that play an extra 2 or 3 seconds before
it shakes
out.
And the chances are it does come loose.
Exactly. It's a snowball of events. But I thought for the most part, once they got themselves into penalty trouble there, that 5. But mind you, how many blocked shot that power play or a penalty kill? Sorry,
they were great
on the 5-on-3. You know, Backlund sticking lane,
Uyghurs just
blocking,
eating
just eating shots, and you're just like, are you kidding me? With 8 games left, you know, you're just eating biscuits all with your body. And you just, give me more. It's like 364 days more till next year's dog drops, right? It's like, let's go.
Yeah, like Happy Gilmore in the cages there. Yeah. Yeah, get ready. Yeah.
But I thought that was impressive. But, you know, they couldn't hold them off for long. And then
one of the things I did notice about the Jets' goals is a lot of them were right around the crease. Is there going to have to be more of an emphasis by defensemen to make sure that they are clearing that out, just because Dustin Wolf isn't necessarily going to win a lot of those kind of physical battles in front of the net? Is that going to need to be an emphasis with him against Markstrom, or is that just, you just got to kind of roll with it? And yesterday, hey, they got some pucks to the crease, and they got some pucks to the crease. Any team's going to score like that.
I thought Dustin Wolf did an excellent job of fighting for pucks yesterday. Mm-hmm. You know, he was out on top of his crease. He was fighting for ice. He was up against players. There was a few.
Well, the save he made on Connor off his rear.
I know.
Yeah.
Right? But you know what? On that play, too, I'm noticing this in Wolf's game, too, because he plays so wide when he's trying to look for the puck. You see how far apart
his legs.
Feet are? Yep. His feet.
His feet.
His feet are?
His little feet. Look at his little feet.
Little feet.
But he gets off balance, you know, when he's that wide, and you lose your push when your feet are that far apart. And then that save where he was sitting on his rear, everybody says, not everybody, but listening to the broadcast last night, they figured maybe he got bumped.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't get bumped. He loses his,
actually,
his balance.
I had the Jets broadcast on as well, and Kevin Sawyer was like, no, he just lost it.
He
just lost his edge there.
But it's not even that he loses his edge. He loses his balance because he ends up on his heels.
Yeah.
And he's trying to go left, right, left, right. Mm-hmm. And before you know it, where's the puck? So your feet and his feet are getting further and further apart. And so, I mean, that happened in one of the games against San Jose, too. Was like the first
goal.
Yeah,
where he
was wide and then he went right to left and he lost his balance and ended up falling back. He's been doing that, actually. I've seen that happen about 4 or 5 times now where he's lost his balance, right? And that's not a knock against him. That's something that I'm sure he'll correct. But, I mean, in his defense, the Jets were able to snap it around pretty good left to right on the power play.
That third goal, four passes side to side before Velarde taps it in. You're like,
like, what am I supposed to
let's
do?
Let's maybe get the seam a little bit here, fellas. Like, you know, come on now.
But but back to your point there about the Jets, you know, and also coming screening, getting to the net. Like, they're a big playoff hockey team, right? Like, they're a heavy.
It's how they score a lot of goals.
You know, and you know, you look at teams like Dallas too. They're big and heavy, and you know, Vegas. Like, that's.
When I think of three of the key goal scorers for Winnipeg, not necessarily yesterday, but Velarde, Toffoli, Monahan, all their best work between
all right
the hash marks.
In front of the hash marks.
And we've seen Monahan here for years. I mean, that guy hardly misses when he's in the slot. Right?
One of the best net front players. I think he's been called by a player in this league this year, the best front player in the league.
Right. And so the rules have changed so much where you can't Darian Hatcher a guy and just bury him in the lower back and break his knees and crack his ankles and push his helmet over his eyes and punch him in the face, and the guy's still got to stand there.
Yep.
You don't have to pay that price to be in front of the net anymore. It's still a tough spot to be, but it's not like it was. So defensemen now, you see them a lot of the times, they'll back away and try and tie the stick up and let the goalie see the puck. Or, you know, you're more looking for, okay, I'm going to tie the stick up so the rebound, you can't get hands on the rebound, right? It's quite a bit different, and so it's tougher on the D-man, 100%, right? But I thought Wolf, all in all, last night, with the amount of work he faced, the Jets threw everything at the net too, right? Everything.
That's how they do it, right? That's exactly what I was talking about. They got guys that can score in tight, so what are you going to do? Get the puck to the net and let them do their work. Because if you're just going to goof around on the perimeter all day, you're not going to do anything if you're the Jets.
Won't have it. You'll give the perimeter away. You want to keep playing keep away outside? Mm-hmm. Sure, skate around all you like, right?
Yep.
And how many pucks got deflected on the way into the net too last night? Even it was the fourth goal.
This goes off Miramanov.
Yeah, Velarde's second goal, right? Yeah. Where it just, you know, and you can see the strength in Wolf's push too. Like, he was coming out, it changes direction, and
he would have got it.
Yeah, right.
defenseman almost made it worse for him.
Yeah, 100% it did. But he didn't do it on purpose. But my point being is he pushes so much and so fast, and gets so far out and twisted out. You know, it's a fine line. Being able to, you know, track the puck, slide out of the net, be available for the second shot. And, I mean, they just threw everything at him last night, and I thought Wolf did a great job.
Some people talk about quiet feet versus happy feet. Is that kind of what you're talking about there?
You know, I don't think Wolf has the luxury of being a quiet goalie. You know, just his style.
Just because
he has to play like
a big guy.
Yeah, right.
It's like Quick. He's athletic. He's pouncing all over the crease.
Mm-hmm. And Quick doesn't play a big goalie game, right? He's kind of a tad bit unorthodox, and you know, he's down early, but he covers low so well. And you know, we discuss this routinely, or everybody does. You know, Wolf is obviously a smaller goalie in the NHL. Where it's, you know, the big guys, like, we've complimented Markstrom so much this year because he's quieted his game down. He doesn't look like he's reaching for pucks, or he's out of position, or he has to. Although he is battling, you don't see it, right? Whereas last night, well, you could see Wolf battle, which was great to see because he wasn't giving up on pucks. He was, more importantly, fighting for ice. He was at the top of his crease. How many times have we seen him this year where things haven't been going his way and he's backed in a little bit and given up that ice? You know, Markstrom has a luxury where he can play a bit deeper and cover laterally quicker, right? Because he doesn't have to be as far out because he is just a larger frame. You know, it was, you know, even that, I think it was the third goal too, where there was the Jets.
The Toffoli one where he passed it to Nemestikov, but it's Nemestikov swiping at it, but it just goes off Uyghur skating in.
Like, are you kidding me? You know, just bouncing around. And I had to rewind that a million times because they were able to snap it around so quickly, and then it hits about three.
Toffoli backs everybody off.
I know.
And just draws everyone to him, and then he
gives
it up to Nemestikov. Like, that's what he does, and he's so good at that.
There's just been a couple instances in Wolf starts where he's been beat by shots clean, and that didn't happen yesterday.
No, he was
on. The Connor chance was the biggest one, and he had the glove up, despite falling and losing his balance.
And I was impressed. Because that's another battle for him, too, right? You know, he's down, he's out of position, but he's not giving up on the play.
And then he gets the rebound, too.
Yeah, and you know what? But he started the game well, too. He didn't give up that first one, that first shot, you know, where he's done it the last two of his starts, where it's been just a clean shot, glove side, in, and it's, you know, the second or third shot into the game. And, I mean, every goalie goes through that, no matter what level you're at, where sometimes you just struggle, or the first 5 minutes, sometimes like, oh, man, you know, I've given up a few here earlier, I can't do it. But I thought, starting on the road, playing a team that's, a contender, right, I thought he answered the bell. And then, you know, you get Hellebuck on the other end, and he... It was kind of there was a flurry there where the Flames were all over the Jets there for a little bit
early on.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and then towards the end too. That was it. Greer on the two
late
on one?
Third.
Yeah,
just before the empty.
Yeah, Rooney and Greer and Weegar joined the rush on the 3-on-1,
and that was a timely save by Hellebuyck. And then at the end too, Kadri had an opportunity to go upstairs, and Hellebuyck was just big and picked his chest up and it hit him in the shoulder, and he doesn't really panic or move a whole bunch. But I thought, he's got to be their best player in order for the Jets to have any type of playoff success.
And this is where, depending on last year, and we had Hustler Patterson from Winnipeg Sports Talk yesterday, and with David Riddick being the backup there last year, and he was okay, but he wasn't L.A. David Riddick, what he's doing this year. It was like they had to run Hellebuyck a lot there at the end, because the Jets were number one in the West at the turn of the new year. They were barely making the playoffs by the end of it, and it was all like Hellebuyck was played a ton. And this year, Brassois has been playing a ton more. This will be the least amount of games Hellebuck's going to play since his second year in the league,
right?
Which is 61, still a lot of games. But like, I think that's going to benefit him for a longer run, because he's not so much relied on to get them in this year.
Well, and he is their best player.
Oh, 100%. Right?
And so, like last season, when you don't have a backup that's going, like how valuable it is to have a second option.
Oh my God.
To give your starter a night off, right? I mean, gone are the days of guys playing 75 games, 70 games, right?
Yep.
We even saw it with Kiprusoff here sometimes too, right? Where they needed him to get into the playoffs.
Yep.
And then they needed him to be their best player in the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't fault guys for, oh man, like, especially if you're not a big scoring team, right? Yep. That can't score five or six. So, and Winnipeg could be one of those teams, because they do have the firepower for it, but they play a very responsible game, right? As we saw last night, and then if Hellebuyck's off, that is,
they can roll four lines with the best of them.
Yeah,
it'll be a scoring by committee type team. But if Mark Scheifele can harness that, 2018, he was the best player in the playoffs.
I know,
and he's been a lot better defensively. I know they reunited with Connor yesterday at some point, but I like them split up.
Yeah,
where they can just distribute the offense more down that line.
Yeah, and they clinched yesterday, so we're excited to see what the Jets are going to do in the playoffs. I wanted to ask you about Martin Pospisil and Connor Zary and Mackenzie Weegar and all that type of stuff. Settle down, Manitoba. Let's go. Martin Pospisil's hit. A thought?
Yeah.
Let's just get your base. Let's get it out of the way
here. It was an elbow.
Yep.
Yeah, clean as day. Clear as day.
Clear as day. It's the cleanest, cleanest day elbow.
Calm as a cucumber and clean as day. A guy like Pospisil, people are going to rag on him for that hit. Oh, you can't do that. Oh, you can't do that. What an idiot. What's he thinking? He's got to be smarter than that. Morris is a really good player. He's a really good skater. He was kind of stick handling in a telephone booth there too for a little bit, whether he was going to go left or right. And then you could see Pospisil.
He lost the puck.
He did. Yep. And then that's what kind of broke the play down. And then Pospisil, being the shark that he is like, well, this guy's got his head down. I'm going to go nail him. Right.
Yeah.
And then Morrissey sees him coming, and, Pospisil left his feet. Morrissey kind of tried to bail on the play. Not he bailed out in the play, but he saw the hit coming. So he's trying to
protect himself.
Right. And it was just like, the only thing that comes to mind, I would say, is comedy of errors, but it's not really funny. But, when he gets his elbow up, hits him. The good thing is when I saw it, I was like, oh, it's Morrissey. Oh, shoot, is he injured? Is he going to be lying there for a little bit?
Popped up. He was up faster than Pospisil was.
And the guy that was lying there was Pospisil, because you could just see him. Oh, darn it. Did anybody see it? Anybody see it?
Well, it looked like it was going to be a minor.
Oh, there's three Jets up here. Yeah, they definitely saw it. Good.
And you know what? For a guy like that, the Flames need him. He is such an energy guy. He is such a driver.
Yep.
He is he's a player you want to watch.
Mm-hmm.
He pulls the guys into the game. And, he, after his first suspension there, it took him a little while to get going again. You could tell he was a bit tentative. He wasn't finishing his checks as much. He wasn't getting in the mix as much. Mm-hmm. He was just trying to stay clear of it. And, Tiger can't change his stripes, I don't think. And, that's just the type of player that is. He walks the line. And who better to help him than Nazem Kadri, right? And, early on in Kadri's career, too, he was nailing guys from behind and, spearing guys. Mm-hmm. And everybody's like, oh, he's got to get control of his emotions and he's got to be better than that. And it's easy for us to say, but in order for those guys to be effective, they have to walk that line. They have to, go nail guys. They have to just, they have to bring that energy.
The problem for him is now he's starting to get the reputation.
For sure.
And the referees are starting to look for it.
Yep.
And you're getting past the point of getting any sort of benefit of the doubt for any one of these instances. That's why I was surprised they called it a minor off the start, which was just part of the referees botching the entire situation.
Oh, man.
But I digress to the hit. It's
a penalty.
It's a penalty.
And maybe
can't
more.
Can't do it. Right. He's probably going to have to serve a game here.
And now that's the second time in your first season of...
Well, it's third he's been tossed from a game in the regular season, fourth including the preseason. He's got a little bit of something with the Winnipeg Jets now because he chicken winged Cole Perfetti in the preseason.
I do like that term, chicken wing.
Yeah. Exactly what it is.
Rempe on Siegenthaler is prime chicken wing.
That's the people's elbow right
there.
Oh,
yeah.
But I
don't know how much more there is to say on it.
No.
He's not going to change. He's probably going to get suspended, and this is what he's going to be like for the rest of his career, and he's going to have a target on his back, and maybe one day he'll fight.
Yeah.
it's the same thing over and over. What do we say?
I know. But you know what? He's fun to watch. But look at Tom Wilson, though, too.
You want him. Oh, you want him on your team all day.
For sure you do, right?
Everyone would love to have him. He's the Brad Marchand. If you're on your team, yeah, you love to have him. And if you don't have him on your team, he's licking your players. You hate him.
But he also gets, offense while he's doing that, too, right? If he's not...
Yeah, he's not a plug.
You know, but he can't do one or the other. He's kind of got to do both in order to be effective, right? And we saw him, too, with Michael Ferland here for a little while, too,
sure.
Right? Where Furley had...
Ferk Daddy.
Had some concussion issues, right? Where when he was playing footloose and fancy free and running guys through the boards and he was a force out there, right? And people knew when he was coming, and he was an intimidating player to play against.
2015 playoffs.
And every time he'd get the puck, he was just dumped into whatever side Ferland was coming in on, and you could see the opposing defense like, oh, I don't want to go in here, right? I don't want to do this.
Yeah.
And, you know, you just hope. I know that Pospisil's had a handful of concussions over his career, too, and playing the game on the line.
And he's
like
got
this.
Some fighting too. Like it's not just from collisions. He's got him from actually fighting.
Right.
Yeah.
So he's probably got a bit of a I'm not doing that stuff. Mm-hmm. And that's you know, if that's the way you want to do it. Somebody's gonna catch up to you eventually.
Yep. Eventually.
Right? And but it's unfortunate last night with eight games left to take one of those. And you know, what I was kind of confused about too was if you call it a major right away, then you can review it and reduce it to a two. But
that's
if you call
it
a minor.
They botched it.
Yeah, for sure. You could see Huska's mouth. He's like, but that's, you can't call that.
That's not in the rules.
Yeah.
If they can get together, they can't look at it video-wise, but they can get together and increase it to a major. That's what Pat said in the post game.
But they watched it, though, didn't they?
I think they did.
Yeah.
They went to a review.
They went to the review without it. And I'm sitting there
and Huska's asking the referee, and the referee looks like he's like giving it to Huska. And I was like, excuse you, you're the crew that just botched this entire situation.
And you have to respect both sides of the bench. Like, Huska wasn't giving it to him on the bench.
Yeah,
either.
Let's maybe be a little bit accountable of our own actions. Because like Patty said, like NHL referees show a little accountability.
They're the only one in the major four that don't have to talk to pool reporters or anything, and they don't have to address anything. They just do their job and leave.
And Bones.
Yeah.
Rick Bonus.
Rick Bonus.
I love Bones.
He got exactly what he wanted
Bones
after the referee.
Hey, come over here.
He was like, literally, five.
Yeah.
Five.
And the referee's like, well, that might be a good idea.
Might be a good idea.
And then they call it a five.
They wouldn't even go over
and
see
then they
him.
Don't go over to see Huska. Like, they gave him the flipped him the double bird and said, puck drop,
and dropped
let's
the
go.
Puck, yeah. That's unbelievable. Just like playing against the Toronto Maple Leafs.
When I was barbecuing yesterday.
Uh-huh.
Barbecuing.
I was barbecuing in the snow.
Nice.
And
what'd you make?
I made chicken.
Nice. Yeah,
I like chicken.
You got the chicken wing going?
Yeah. Chicken.
Chicken wings?
Breast or bone in?
Breast.
Okay. Mm.
Yeah. Splurged.
Nice.
Yeah.
Look at you, fancy boy.
Yeah. Big game last night, probably. You know, I had to get nice chicken breast on the grill. Oh, yeah. Right, little salad, little mashed potatoes.
Nice.
Sicko.
But, yeah, weirdo.
So good.
But no, I came in, I'm like, what the hell's going on here? And it didn't ruin my mood, but I was like, this can't be. Whatever. Yeah. It is what it is. Game's over. Doesn't matter.
Connor Zary was scratched.
Yeah,
healthy
I saw
scratched.
That. Yeah.
What did you make of it?
Young player. He hasn't been the same since he came back from injury. Why don't you watch the stats a little bit and maybe see what the other guys are doing that you're not right now?
Yeah, that's the whole thing. Like Maddie explained that this morning. I'm like, yeah, that makes sense. Because social media was like, why is he out? The season's over. You should be playing young guys. I'm like, okay. Yeah, I kind of agree with that. But, you know, he hasn't been good.
It's different if you keep him out of the lineup the rest of the season.
Yeah, for sure. And they do this to guys too. That early on in their career, that struggle.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, you know
what? Hasn't been playing well.
You haven't been playing well. You know, and it also, as a player, kind of doesn't reset you, but you kind of take the message. You're like, hey, you know what? I'm not playing well. You're not okay, so you're not playing. You're going to sit in the press box and you're going to watch the game and see what you think. Right? Just pick. Go watch Scheifele out there. See what he's doing. When you're in the mix, when you're playing, it's not so much that you're watching Kadri and, you know, Huberto.
Trying to catch your breath.
Right. It's you're watching, especially a team like Winnipeg. The maybe they say, hey, you know what, Zari, maybe we kind of view you as a player like Scheifele, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of, you know, playing against him and not really being on the line with him all the time because you'll get paired off, sit in the press box. You're not playing well. Watch what he does. Tell me, you know, three or four things that you think you could do from your game that, you know, and we'll sit down and talk about it tomorrow on the way back. And nobody's mad at you. You're a young player, and they do this with a lot of young guys.
Did you ever have that happen? Sit in the press box, go watch this guy?
Well, I always got told. I was in the press box actually quite a bit. But
really?
Shocking, I know. But they would. I would talk to the goalie coach, and we would sit there, and we'd break down the opposing goalie. Right?
Did you like to sit there with the goalie coach, or would you rather do it yourself?
I usually did it myself, but every once in a while the goalie coach would come up or whatever. He just after the game we'd catch up, but I'd like doing it myself, right? And then you know you'd have the goalie coach to kind of confer with afterward because he's busy with
the guy who's stopping pucks,
the actual starter. Game. Yeah. Hey, listen here, Mika. We have this Mika. If you wouldn't mind settling down here for a second, we got this guy over here that really needs my attention
He's
right now.
He's developing.
So if you wouldn't mind just
we need to talk.
I said enough. Stop talking. Enough.
I get it.
Right.
Okay. Fine.
Yeah.
I also want to ask you about Mackenzie Weegar. How does he keep scoring goals?
I don't know. I think because he doesn't think he will. You know, he makes fun of his shot.
Off-speed pitch.
Right. You know, he's just coming in there. He's like, and it was a great shot, too.
It's laser.
I know. Like, I was sitting there thinking, earlier on, we were
better than Miramanov.
It looked like Sharon Govich, kind of, the slingshot.
It does. And earlier in the season, they were calling him the Muffin Man, and that was all funny. And then he's just like, yeah, the Muffin Man just racking up goals.
Yeah.
He's having a career year, isn't he?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
By 19 goals. 200 career point last night.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And you know what? And he's a competitor. Like, he's, you can see how frustrated he gets, too, and how, and that's kind of the negative side of things, but how involved and engaged he is in every game,
but,
right?
But among the guys that have the long term that's going to be here for a bit, he does feel like the one guy that's like, yeah, I'm all right. I'm going to be okay, and I'm okay with what's going to be happening here.
He talked about culture and setting a culture for next season, these next seven games after the contest and the post-game scrum, and that's kind of exactly what you want to hear. Just for what it's worth, 11 goals more than his previous high. He's got 48 points. His previous high was 44.
I was going to mention that, too. He is a core guy.
Mm-hmm.
He acts like a core player.
Yep.
Right? Without knowing him personally, just what he puts out on the ice, he's invested. Even if he has a bad night, like even if things aren't going for him, or he's invested. He doesn't give up. He pushes forward. He's involved in some way. And to hear him say those comments after the game, you can identify him as being a leader on this team.
Mm-hmm.
And for him to take that role, I think is very important for him, for his development in his career. Everybody wants to be on a winner, but we're all talking about what's going to happen next season now, right? Where this team's going to be. I thought the Flames this year did a pretty darn good job of handling all the BS that was going around outside. You know, unfortunately, we're not going into the playoffs, and I don't think anybody's blown away by that. But they were in the mix for quite some time, and then going into the next season, you know, a guy like Weegar, you know, that's another line on his resume in terms of being a leader, right? You grow in time, and I think that he's done a great job, and he's led by example.
It's been fun to watch. I have a thought on coaches and decisions that they have to make going into the playoffs, and how having less decisions to make is a good thing. I want to bounce this idea off you as it relates to the Winnipeg Jets and another comment that Hustler Patterson made yesterday about the starting 18 for the Jets in the playoffs. Not set yet. I also kind of want to get into that with goalies. We'll do that around the break. We also have the Speargrass Golf Show.
Ooh.
That's going to come up at 45 with Mitch Fox. We're going to see what's happening at Speargrass. And we have the Lock of the Day, and we have Plays of the Week.
Love it.
A lot to do.
Locked and loaded.
Locked and loaded. Do you read this now again or just another time after the...
Oh, when he comes back.
After the break?
Yeah.
So we just go to break?
Go to break.
But he's Brent Cron for All Kind Door Services, and he'll still be here after the break. Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Welcome back to the show. There's a few things we have to get to really fast. Brent Cron is here with us. He joins us after every Flames game, and the season's winding down, so we're kind of disappointed about this, but we're going to try and sort some things out for the postseason as well. Why do you join us, Brent? Or who do you join us for? To talk about
why
hockey?
Why are you here?
Why
are you doing
here? What's your deal, dude?
Brent Cron is brought to you by All Kind Door Services Limited, your go-to service company for the last 35 years, offering 24-hour emergency service for all your door repairs, anything that swings, slides, or rolls. Call 403-266-1411.
We got the Speargrass Golf Show coming up in just a few minutes. The season's almost here. Mitch Fox, the pro from Speargrass, is going to join us. We have to get our locks of the day. We have to get our plays of the week. All of that coming up here before we hit 9 o'clock. GVP's got Flames audio and a replay, so maybe we'll go a little bit late here as well. I wanted to ask you something that I've been thinking about after yesterday. We chatted with Hustler Patterson. One of the questions we asked him was about having your 18 players set for the playoffs and how it's not necessarily set for them right now. If I was a head coach in the NHL, I would want to make as little decisions as possible. I would want my goalie set and that based on play. You know, like what happened in Boston last year, that turned out to be a little bit of a mess in the playoffs. I would much rather have the Hellebuyck and Brassois conversation. And I would much rather have my 18 players set. And there's a couple of reasons for that, but I'm curious. Do you feel the exact same way? Do you want everything basically done by your players if you're a head coach heading into the playoffs?
When I go to a certain breakfast joint,
mm-hmm.
I go there because of simplicity,
mm-hmm.
right? I know what I want. It's there every time. I don't have a million options. When I go to other breakfast places, there is so much on the menu, it almost discourages me mm-hmm. from ordering breakfast. I'll mm-hmm. just have a cup of coffee and some toast.
And that's always the time when you get your food and you're like, I think I missed it.
I missed it.
I think I might have yep. missed it.
I put the wrong combination together. Mm-hmm. I took the sausage instead of the bacon,
mm-hmm.
right? And, of course, not every team has that luxury to have everything set. From a goaltending perspective, like I think it was the last time the Blackhawks won the Stanley Cup where Crawford started off really poor. He mm-hmm. wasn't very good. And then they had that big, tall goalie that got the...
Darlene?
No, yeah. That sign that got monster deal in Carolina, that got him paid for 4 years, and he played like 8 games for Carolina,
yeah,
right?
And then he did the player assistance program, and then he's since ripped the player assistance program. He's had a little bit of twists and turns to his career, but back to your point.
But he came in
mm-hmm.
and got the Blackhawks back online mm-hmm. against the Nashville Predators. I think that's who they were playing in that round, right?
Yep.
And then Corey Crawford came back, and they started him right back after and said, hey, carry on. And so that's – even when Cam Ward – when he started, too, in Carolina, when they were in Montreal, his first year in the National Hockey League, they went with Martin Gerber at the start.
Mm-hmm.
And Martin Gerber wasn't very good, and then he got sick. He got a cold. And, you know, Cam Ward, that's where his career took off, obviously. He's a great hockey player, but – if you can have two good goalies, that's great, but you have to have one clearly defined
mm-hmm.
as it maybe not statistically,
mm-hmm.
but in your mind, it's like, this is the guy that I'm going with. Right. And you look at, you had Mike Vernon on this show too. I think it was Vernon that was saying something along the lines of, you know, when it was him and Chris Osgood,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
and Chris Osgood played most of the regular season, but yep. Scotty Bowman, or I think it was the coach, he's
97.
Yeah. And he went to yep. Vernon. Yeah. You're my guy for the playoffs.
Won the Conn Smythe.
And, he's like, what? I've been the backup for the season. Goes, no, you're my guy.
Yeah.
Right? And just stuff like that where you have that.
But he knew.
Yes.
He wasn't flipping, flopping. Because here's the other thing. Whether you get the decision right, that's one thing in itself. But what the perception is of how you made that decision is something completely different. The fans are going to react to your decision. The media is going to react to decision. And most importantly, all those players in the room are also going to have their own opinion of your decision. So in the end, if you just have everything set, that's why I think this part of the season is so important to mm-hmm. just make sure that everything is in line so you have the right 19 guys on the ice for game one so you can just eliminate all of those extra noise distractions yep. around your team as you get into the playoffs.
Well, and even too, there's struggles throughout the year where it's a long season. Sometimes you guys just hit a slump. Certain guy kind of holds the line back just because he's not going. And yeah, during the season, you can mix it up and see what works. But once playoff starts, it's a totally different style of hockey, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you want your guys going on all cylinders, and you got to, obviously your matchups do depend on who you're playing against for, you know, obviously a certain degree, right? But it's way more advantageous from a player's perspective too to know what's going on, because if you're constantly switching and flip-flopping, and guys get frustrated with it real quick. Obviously in the playoffs, you start with, if you have kind of what you want and you're confident in it, you're in a very fortunate position, because there are some teams that are like, they're just eking their way in. Like, I don't even know what we're doing tonight.
Yeah.
But you've had 82 games to find some chemistry. But yeah, less decision-making, the better. But that's a very...
It's a two-edged sword, right? Because I just think about it with the Winnipeg Jets. They have 15 really good forwards. They have to pick 12 of them.
I know.
And as much as you're like, yeah, we got 15 great guys. If someone goes down, we're just going to plug and play another guy. But you also have that thing in the back of everyone's mind where if you play somebody that the players think is not the right decision, do you start losing the room or anything along those type of lines? That's kind of what I wonder about.
I don't. You won't lose the room. Guys,
not immediately.
Yeah, guys will question moves, right? And you know, you don't always have to agree with everything that your coach does. I think that's where the respect for your coach comes in. Even if you don't like him, you kind of have to respect what he's doing. If that's not there, then that's a problem. But it's also playoff time, too. And for the most part, if not all, it's playoffs. So guys don't – they're not going for most goals in the playoffs or best goals against average. It's just wins and losses. You can lose 8-0, and it's all it is a loss.
Yep.
And you go play the next game. You can win 2-1 in triple overtime. It's like you feel like you won the Stanley Cup, but it's just one win, right? Yeah. And so, like, you can't get to – you know, oh, he had a 5-point night. He's a playoff performer. Mm-hmm. But it's like, well, yeah, great. That's you still have to win 3 more games, right? So so the mentality is completely different. I always loved playing overtime hockey in the playoffs because it was like river hockey with your buddies, street hockey. It's like the clock doesn't matter, right? It does not
just
matter.
Don't let it in.
It's the last goal wins, right? And that's what hockey's all about. It actually gives me goosebumps talking about it.
The hair on my neck started standing up thinking about playoff overtime. It was so close.
Yeah, you know? And it just gets you all fired up, and then that's what it's all about. So, guys,
tomorrow.
It's like if, you know, McDavid is a -3, but, you know, the Oilers win, 4-3 in overtime,
he doesn't
care.
Nope.
Right? It's like his, I mean, just
it's
picking
obviously a fantasy situation but then where that, like, he's -3. And you're like,
McDavid's not going. Are they in trouble?
Yeah, exactly. But you win the hockey game, it's like, we won, man.
Yep.
That's what's next.
Real quick, if you had to jump on a bandwagon right now with the Flames eliminated, whose bandwagon are you jumping on?
I'm partial to the Stars.
Yeah, I thought so.
I really am. I obviously love Jake Oettinger, Tanev. Obviously going down there.
Jamie
too.
Ben, one of your boys?
Benny. Yeah, Benny.
As you call him.
Yeah. Great. B-E-N-N. I love watching him play because he's such a jerk, right? He's one of the last jerks.
And he's got Stankoven and Johnson on his side, those two kids just zipping it around.
Right? Man, he's loving it. Like, you watch him every once in a while, too. He doesn't really like to back check very much, right?
Yeah.
And let those guys do that over there. Then I'll just give a cross check to somebody's forehead and then say, oh, sorry, just my follow through. I lost my balance.
Just so heavy and tall.
And nobody wants to fight him either, right? So, Dallas and, you know, Florida, too. I'd like to see them do well. I really would.
Mm-hmm.
They're another jerk hockey team.
Yeah, you like your jerks, don't you?
I do, because it's so, like, even watching the Rangers and Devils the other night, too, it's, like, it gets you so engaged in the sport, because it shows that the guys, like, you don't have to fight to show you care, but the way sports in general is going, even, like, on the tail end when I was playing, everybody's kind of more buddy-buddy, you know, it's like you're on the ice and, hey, man, how's the family, you know, whatever, and... You know, 10 years prior to that, guys were like, if you were talking to the guy across the red line,
in that line brawl, I don't know who it was that ended up fighting Trouba and Miller, but they were the two last Devils, and they were like, oh, we're not fighting, and then, well, Trouba and Miller are like, oh God, we got to fight those,
yeah,
and they're just getting ragdolled, the poor guys,
you know,
but it's part of the game, we're in it,
and it's passion too. It's like, you know, I'm not gonna go down without a fight, even if we're not winning on the scoreboard. I don't like to be embarrassed. I don't like to lose. And you know what? I'm going to drag you down into the mud here with me for a little while, and we'll go wrestle it out and figure it out, right? It's something old school. There's something that's got a lot of honor to it that I absolutely love.
Looking forward to the postseason. It's going to be here in the blink of an eye, baby.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get to the Speargrass Golf Show. Speargrass Golf Course is Calgary's most friendly and relaxed golf experience, just 30 kilometers southeast of the city. Book tee times at speargrass.ca. That is speargrass.ca. We have kept him on the line because we were talking a little bit about playoffs, but boy... Just so excited for him. Mitch, hello. Mitch Fox, the professional out at Speargrass, joins us now. How's it going, man?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
Really good. We're excited for the upcoming season. The Flame season has come to an end, and we're all heartbroken about it. But it does mean that golf is that much closer. How are things looking out at Speargrass?
Yeah, things are good. We're busy getting to work, hoping to get open soon. We obviously got a bunch of snow over the last couple of days, so that might slow us down a bit. But we're hoping to get open for sometime next weekend, late next week. But we'll just have to see what happens over the next few days. If not, probably the week after and go from there.
We talked about it earlier on our show, but you still have annual memberships available out at Speargrass. And one of the things I love that you guys do is you put everything together for us. The cart, the driving range. It's all included. Can you tell us a little bit about the memberships you still have available?
Yeah, exactly. We have a few different options. We have unrestricted memberships, which are you can play basically every single day. You get 14 days advance booking, where the general public gets only 7 days. And then we have a couple other options with some couples memberships, restricted, which kind of the only time you can't play is Saturday and Sunday mornings before 12. And yeah, we have some of those available, and those are really good memberships because you get the 14-day in advance booking, which is pretty key around Calgary these days with how busy all the golf courses are. And then, yeah, we bundle everything together. So once you buy your membership, you don't have to worry about anything else. You got your cart, range, golf, everything included, and then you're good for the season. And then all our rates are posted on speargrass.ca on our website, and you can head over there to check that out.
Excellent. And if I'm not maybe available to do a membership, tell us about the Friday deal you guys have. It's a legendary one. Me and my buddies love to come out there. I know it used to be date night, but there was no real like perception on the date. So me and my buddies would be each other's date, and we'd go out and we'd play golf and we'd get a drink and we'd get a meal included. What's the deal like nowadays?
Yeah, of course. We still have the exact same deal. It's $89 with, which includes a round of golf. So it's $89 each, round of golf. You get a meal after the round, with including a drink. So on a, and it's every Friday night. So or Friday, every Friday it starts in the afternoon, and then yeah, it's 18 holes of golf. You can't really find a better deal for golf and a meal around in the city. It's you want to make sure you book that a week in advance also, because that fills up pretty fast as well.
Mitch, I loved playing Speargrass last year. I did run out of balls there. I did not play the final three holes, the ones right along the river there.
He was doing his best.
I was doing my best. But any new features on the course you guys want to show off this year?
We're working hard out there. There's nothing too crazy. There's no hole changes or anything like that. We did do some renovations on 18 last year just to kind of shore up a couple things we had going on. But we do have a lot going out of the club. We're in the process of trying to build a new clubhouse, and that's getting ready. Nice. We hired a new executive chef, so kind of revamped the restaurant and stuff. So the menu's changed a little bit. And that'll be exciting for this year. So come out and check out the new restaurant. Like give a shout out to our new chef, Carlos. So he'll be busy all summer. And then bunch of tournaments to be booked. We still have our tournament tent that we can use for tournaments, so that's perfect. Yeah.
Who's your pick for the Masters? Last one before I let you go, Mitch.
I don't think I would pick against Scottie Scheffler right now.
Scottie or the field? Like, who would you take? No, I'm going to change it. Scottie or the field?
I would have to take the field if I spent my money, but it kind of feels like the Tiger Woods days when you kind of just pick Tiger and hope for the best. That's kind of what it feels like for this Masters. So, and I think the odds are kind of showing that as well. So I'd take Scottie and hope for the best.
How would you describe Scottie's swing?
I like it. It's there's a lot going on, but yeah. if you kind of keep tabs on what the new teachers are teaching these days, he's kind of doing exactly what everyone wants to be doing. It's just he doesn't quite hold the finish like everyone else does. So it looks different, but it's obviously working. So I don't know. Maybe take him for your guys' lock of the week. improve your guys' records.
They haven't been good if you're following along, which I'm sure you have been. Mitch, we're looking forward to another season of the Speargrass Golf Show here on Sportsnet 960 and another season out at Speargrass. Thanks for taking the time, and best of luck as you continue the preparation.
Thank you very much. We look forward to having you guys out this year and hopefully see everyone come out to Speargrass.
There you go.
Thanks a lot, Mitch.
Mitch Fox from the Speargrass Golf Course, their head professional out there. Have you been out there? Did we take you out there last year?
No, I went out there last year for a charity golf tournament.
Oh, nice.
Had an absolute blast.
Mm-hmm. It would be so good for your swing. It's so wide open in the first like 9 to
there's
12
holes.
There's
one hole that it's not.
Yeah.
Or two. You know, and it, for all the good holes for me, that one hole really ruins it. You know,
yes.
I mean, if you're a lefty and have a slice, it's not good. I know I was I was going to talk to him about golf myself because you know how avid of a golfer I am. Even though I did get in the most rounds I ever had in my life last summer.
How many did you get? 15.
That's a good number. That's a real good number to me.
Yes.
Yeah.
I didn't want to intimidate him with my hard-hitting golf questions.
Yeah. All of your technique questions and all that type of stuff.
But, you know, he did say something, though, too, about, like, all those new teachers that are teaching this style. It's the same in any sport. And you know, it's everything is like, this is a new style.
Adapt or die.
This is the new this. And shooting, you know, Adam Holt's 2 inches behind for Kucherov. Yeah. It's the new this. It's the new that, right? It's something.
Like, I imagine if your kid was doing some, like, high-level kind of tutoring for the sport, the things that he would be teaching your son are completely different than what, you know, your goalie coach would have been teaching
you,
right?
It's crazy. Like, I got people coming up to me talking about, like, reverse VH and
RVH,
And I'm like, what the hell is that?
What is an RVH?
Because I'm sitting here and some of these goals that get scored on now, it's like I'd be standing up there when the puck's behind the net. And then I would slide out and I would make the save.
Yeah.
You know, it's not that hard. That's what I would do. Yeah. Right?
I would do it without three letters of the alphabet. Yeah. How about that? Yeah,
exactly. Like going back to simplifying.
Yeah.
Right?
Everything's too hard nowadays.
It is. There's lots going on.
That's the Speargrass Golf Show. Mitch is going to be joining us throughout the season. We're going to have all sorts of other things in line for you. There's a couple of big tournaments coming through town this year.
Yep.
Stopping at Earl Grey and what country?
CP Women's Open down at
Earl Grey.
Earl Grey and then the Shaw Charity at Canyon Meadows.
And I want to say that there's something else here too that I'm forgetting.
Okay.
But
Earl Grey's a nice track.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We love it out there. We also love it out at Speargrass. We got to get to our lock of the day, boys. It's for Metal Supermarkets Calgary, offering a large variety of metal types and shapes, cut to any size and ready fast. Metal Supermarkets Calgary, the convenience store for metal, located on 50th Avenue Southeast. How did we do yesterday, Mr. Patrick?
Okay, well, GVP did not hit his. Capitals lost to the Penguins. Sixers did cover the 2.5. And the Tigers, I assume you got the first of the doubleheader?
Yes, I did say the first of the doubleheader.
Okay, so the Tigers did hit there. And
in extra innings. Woo, Cutter close.
And Liverpool and Sheffield United went, five total there? Three, four total there? Either way, it was over. He had the...
Connor was wrong?
He was wrong.
Is what you're saying?
Yes.
Connor was wrong?
He was wrong.
Mm, how dare he. All right, what do you got for today, Patrick?
I'm going to go to the Women's Final Four tonight, South Carolina, to cover the 11.5 versus NC State and parlay that with Iowa covering the 2.5 versus UConn.
Wow. Getting a little bit of March Madness in your life. How about it? All right. GVP, what are you going to do here?
I'm going to take a look at the Blue Jays and the New York Yankees. We kind of talked about it a little bit off the top here. It felt like the Jays are going to be, they'd be lucky to get one game in this. I'm actually going to look at the Yankees team total. Going to take their over 4.5.
Lock it in. Brent, where are you going?
Game 5, Ken Bracco Arena tonight.
Yes, sir.
Chance to go to the final.
Oh.
Yeah. Series on the line, game 6.
Spicy meatball.
Or game 5? Yeah. Game 5.
It's game 5.
Yep.
The Canucks are up 3-1. Playing the night. Friday night, Ken Bracco Arena. Chance to close out the Drumheller Dragons. Brad Moran's going to have those boys humming. They're going to win tonight. Put all your money on it.
Well, okay.
Everything you have.
I don't know if we should be. I don't think that's not healthy gambling advice.
He's an expert. He's an expert.
Don't listen to him.
He's an expert.
Not what you should be doing. We're on AJHL hockey. Let's settle down. Betting our mortgages on 16-year-olds, guys. Connor, what do you got?
Yeah, I'm going to go back to the Bronx as well. Davis Schneider making his return to the Jays lineup. And I'm going to take him to hit at least one home run plus 850.
Sorry, what was that second one?
Plus 850.
Yeah.
Wow. That's just how much you get. Wow. Okay.
So if you put $100 down, you get $850.
Yes. That's correct.
Or $10.
You get Babe Schneider.
It is a big underdog.
A short porch.
I'm also going to take a home run prop. Wow. I thought mine was ridiculous, and then he went with Davis Schneider. I'm going to go with someone who's been much more good at baseball all season long.
Going
Juan Soto over a home run, a half a home run. It's coming in at plus 439, and Yusei Kikuchi has been known to give up a long ball from time to time, so I'm going to go there. That is our lock of the day for Metal Supermarkets Calgary, offering a large variety of metal types and shapes, cut to any size and ready fast. Metal Supermarkets Calgary, the convenience store for metal, located on 50th Avenue Southeast. Hour 2 of the big show is up. Hour 3 is going to be up in mere moments. Apple, Spotify, or Google. We've had a lot of fun the last couple days, despite George being sick and away. Mm-hmm. It's been a good week overall, so thank you so much for tuning in. GVP, what do you got coming up in the next hour?
Just a little bit of Flames audio. Huska, Uyghur, Mirmanov, all... all spoke last night. Going to hear
Mirnamov. Sorry, what was that last
name? Mirmanov.
Yeah, there. Mirmanov.
Mirmanov.
You got enough time to put that one in the plays of the week? You think you can slide
I got no time for that. We're going to do it right now.
Okay, well, let's go ahead. It's the end of the week, and as you know, we like to celebrate by reliving our best moments. Here is our plays of the week. Have a great weekend, everybody.
This is the best of the worst of the Big Show with Russick and Rose.
April Fool's Day is not limited to only Western culture.
No, there's no more. No, there can't be. Can we talk about the game? It was a good game on Saturday. What are you doing?
It's time for another April Fool's Day fact on the Big Show with Russick and Rose on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
April Fool's Day is not just limited to Western culture. Many cultures around the world have their own versions of this day. In India, for example, the Holi Festival, celebrated in March, invokes pranks and throwing colors at each other.
That was an April Fool's Day fact on The Big Show with Russick and Rose on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Tremendous amount of mirth.
Yeah. To the hardcore.
What happened tonight? This is completely BS.
The Raptors took on the Sixers.
The Sixers.
Today, Junior!
Just take it, GVP, please. Okay.
Them Sixers, or whatever you just said.
Look who it is.
Oh, God. Who?
Good morning, Wedley. Hello, sir. How are you?
Excuse me. With so much drama in the LBC, it is hard for this per Wedley to win. Sorry, I've messed it all up.
Yeah, well, good job. Yeah. All right, hang up on him. He's done. No, good try. You're done. See you.
You blew it!
Man, I totally botched that.
Yeah, you did. You did.
Suck it.
Please cut that. Don't let George hear that. I'm banning myself from prizes for that.
Oh,
Cron. Yeah.
Oh, super hot. How like hot? The hottest you've ever been in your life.
And then I would...
That's so hot.
Hot damn!
I would so hot.
Ride the big man.
What?
Hey, yo!
All right. Luke Gazdick. What was that?
I don't know. My voice is... Oh, my God. I have no idea what it's going to be like.
We need some more secret sauce. Put this mayonnaise in the sun.
Yeah. All right. Flames lost 5-3 last night.
One hell of a game last night.
Hey, I was asking Maddie at the game last night, does Kuzmenko remind you more of Jager protecting the puck or Peter Forsberg?
I think that may be the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
You going to take your headphones off and leave?
I'm just going to go home.
Okay.
Now.
Yeah. We're not being serious today. Okay. Yeah. James, favorite Snoop Dogg song?
Snoop Doggy Dogg.
Woof. Okay.
Hang up.
Hang on the line, James. Thank you. Another text message.
Matt Rose is older than Brent Cron's goalie jock.
Oh. How old is your goalie jock?
That's like, I don't know, 15 years.
And you
something
wore
stinks.
And you wore
this is a team I know, Georgia. Everybody Stanley Cup favorite. Yeah, everybody Stanley Cup favorite. I don't know.
The Big Show with George Russick and Matty Rose. Weekdays when you wake up.